Let's thank the Lord for our worship team. As I shared before, it's just a delight to join in worship with you, to sit here, and as the selections that were picked were very much honoring and putting our focus on Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? It's one thing to talk about Jesus. It's another thing to talk to Jesus. Did you catch the difference? So just delighted to worship with you this morning. And just even now, those songs, and just, it certainly is not about me. And I think of these songs, I could think of times where each of these songs have kind of ministered to my own soul. You are the everlasting God. You ever, strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. Who here has ever found themselves at times needing strength? You know, psalmist says, I look to the hills, where does my help come from? All of my help comes from the Lord. And so I testify that the Lord gives strength. And as you sang that wonderful hymn, I stand amazed. You know, many of the hymns have a rich history born from Scripture and testifying to the truth of God. For example, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a like who?
Me.
I think we find out about that in Scripture, don't we? For it is by grace you are saved, by faith and not of who? I am not good enough to earn heaven. But I'm glad to be here, love worshiping, love walking through the word, but Jesus is, this is not Jesus. I have Jesus. And more importantly, he has me. And so I invite you in this time in the word that you have a time to hear the word of God for yourself. And like LeVar Burton in Reading Rainbow said, don't just take my word for it. Read it for yourself. So if you have your Bible, if you have it on your phone, I want you to have it out. And this is all way of introduction. We're wrapping up the year. And it's a privilege in this bit of time to join in with this fine church. As you're making your way, we're going to be in Scripture this morning. Indeed, we'll be in Psalm 90. And you saw it read overhead. Let me share a few things. First, I want to express my gratitude. Your love, your warmth, your welcome to me has been just amazing. Thank you, each of you who blessed me and my family with gifts and food. And oh boy, Christmas Day, I was wobbling with all that chocolate and everything. Now, I'm not saying this, I'm not up here to preach me, but I do want to express gratitude and say thank you. And I also want to affirm the lordship of Jesus Christ over all of us. The calling that the Lord has on my life, you know, I serve in a church in Reseda, but I'm a bit of a missionary. So I told the Lord, if you want, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And you know, when I said yes, he shocked me. I've been to some places that I personally had no clue. But God is at work all over his creation, and it humbles me to be a part of your worship and to walk with you during this time. I hope you found Psalm 90, because we're going to be headed there. And this morning, as we reflect on time and using time wisely, in this text of Scripture, I hope what comes into your view is God. God is eternal. He is everlasting. This is one of his attributes. So when we sang, you are the everlasting God, the everlasting, you won't grow weary. You're defender of the weak. The same God that brought me into this world in July 3rd, 1970, and several months before that, has been the same God over all of my life and all of yours. And when we reflect on the eternality of God, it humbles us to see that God is God and he doesn't change. Amen. I'm fired up with thinking about that because we live in a world where people change. But God doesn't change. Kids, get this early in life. God loves you and he always will. He's as much as your God as he is your parents and your grandparents. Stick with him and he'll make all the difference in your life. I'm just testifying this morning. I'm so happy today. Y'all in trouble. I'm going to get Baptist and Pentecostal up in here because God is God. And when you know that he's eternal, you have stability in a world that's shaky. Oh, praise the Lord. Y'all have Psalm 90? Now, if you want to write notes, don't take my words for it. I want to preface this time with the words of Jesus from Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 says this, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This is God." Let's pray. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our times are in your hands. Time is in your hands. You're not limited at all. You're eternal, yet we are frail. If you would visit us today in such a way that someone here would yield their life and their soul to you today, and that today would mark the day that by faith in the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, they would be born again. This is something that only you can do because salvation is completely of you. And for those who are in you already, may this be a day to commit their way to you. Teach us all to number our days and apply a heart of wisdom. And we pray this in the name, your name, of the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Psalm 90, beginning at the first verse. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. At the start of this psalm, God is telling us who he is. Side comment. Let's keep going. Verse 3. You turn man back into dust and say, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass, which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath, we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all of our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. And yes, confirm the work of our hands." Psalm 90. I have to ask you a question. If someone, or let's say, I guess we're close to maybe 150, maybe even more or less, if there were a group of people, maybe they all had suits, and each of them had a briefcase, And they brought a briefcase to each of you. And inside of that briefcase was $525,600. What would you do with it? Somebody say what?
Now you're talking.
Now we're talking. We got one there. All right. So we got one who would be happy. Or let me raise it up again. Or better yet, maybe it's more than that. What if each of you had given to you today $31,557,600 in a briefcase? What would you do?
Pray.
Somebody said pray. Someone said taxes. What would you do with it? Someone said casino. All right. Now you're probably wondering, what in the world is he talking about? Is this a pitch for money or have you? We're coming to the end of a year. Can I tell you that you have had given to you something more important than all of that money? You probably, if your wheels are turning, you're probably doing the calculations. The Bible says, in the words of Jesus, what profit a man, he gained the whole world and
lose
his soul. This year, you have received and spent over 525,600 minutes. You got it? You spent it. You got it, and I did too, and you spent it. And can I tell you, there are people in hospitals who would want to have a few more minutes. How did you spend your time? Who did you spend it on? And was God involved in it? These are the questions I ask myself. You received over 31 million seconds this year. Got a text from a good friend whose two-month granddaughter is in the hospital right now. Pray for her. Minutes, seconds, moments are a gift from God.
Amen.
Is that the truth?
Yes.
So here we have this psalm to the text. Moses, the servant of God, who gives us, who received the word of God and gives it to us, is praising the Lord in this prayer, in the psalm that's in the hymn book of Israel. Because the psalms were sung, they were acts of worship, if you will, or songs of worship. And in the psalm, he talks about the eternality of God. And it's contrasted with the temporariness of man. God is eternal. And in this verse, two verses, he praises the Lord in a way that reminds those who would read it that God has been God from generation to generation. Now, growing up, when we ever said generation to generation, it's usually because we were talking about each other. You say, you and your mom and a generation to generation. That's, well, maybe a New Jersey quote, but let me back away from that. But in this case, in the first two verses, Moses says, you've been our dwelling place from generation to generation. If you can recall, God raised up Moses and used him to set the children of Israel free. You know the story, you can read in Exodus that he grew up in the household of Pharaoh and he survived the murder and the slaughter of innocent children. And then God raised him up and used him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. God was faithful to Moses, even to the Israelites, but were the Israelites always faithful to God?
No.
No. Was Moses always faithful to God? Well, somebody said yes, somebody said no. He tried. He was indeed faithful, but he had a moment or two. You recall he lost his temper. What did he do? Struck the rock. He was a humble man, but like most of us, if we'll admit, does anyone have some limits? Hence, God is eternal. And that's all I'm going to say about that right now. So you know how to pray for me. But notice that this psalm, he's reminding the Israelites that God was faithful and was faithful to us. And by way of example, what did God do to rescue the Israelites? Plagues. He fought for them to be free. And even when they got out into their journey and they complained, God still was faithful to them. He sent them a cloud by day and a fire by night. So God was indeed their home and their dwelling place even through it all. And I don't know what point in time that these words were given, but Moses could look back and say, you know what? God, you've been our home all this time. And I imagine here today, there's some people here, maybe 10, 20, 40, 50, 80 years old that can say, you know what? The Lord has been my dwelling place all these years. Amen. So God has been the place of dwelling for the Israelites. And by the way, he's that way for all of mankind too. And then he goes on in this beautiful psalm that before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You've heard me mention it. I love driving the 126 out. I'm excited to be here. We have a great time. One of the things I love is just seeing these mountains. Just seeing the mountains, you know. As a city kid, I don't get enough of that. I'm like, wow. That was there before, certainly before I was here, and even before we were here as a nation, or the fact that we have visible evidence of a creator all around us every day. Amen. This psalm, even the words used, and if you're into reading in the Hebrew, the word that's used for God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1, it's the same word that's used here, Elohim, in Psalm 90. So God is using Moses to say, that one, your creator, has been the same one on your side throughout all of generations. Before those mountains were formed, he's your God. Now as I hope as you're saying, if you're listening to this, this is causing you to give your thoughts and mind to an eternal perspective. Because often our minds are set on things that are fleeting, come and go. Well, let's keep going. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So the eternality of God, God exists and will always exist eternally. But this is contrasted with man's temporariness. You see this in verses 3 through 12. You turn back man to dust. 1,000 years in your sight is but a day. We used to have a saying growing up, if we dropped our food on the ground, God made dirt and dirt don't hurt. Y'all have heard that before, right? So we pick it up, dust it off, kiss it, and eat. I'm silly like that. Bear with me. But do you know that's where we all come from? But dust, 70 years, 70 years. I used to run track and field, and that first 100 yards, you're moving, the second 100, you're moving, then you get about the third quarter, it's like, ooh, you start to feel it. We thank the Lord. If the Lord has blessed you 70, 80 years, 90, but man is temporary. Think about those minutes you received this year. Well, let me make it even more plain. Moses talks about how temporary man is in such a way we're like plants that sprout, flourish, and then fade away. Verse 6. Verse 7, we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You've placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We finished our years like a sigh. We live with the effects of sin. We often think of sin in the sense of our disobedience, which is very much the case. But then there's the fact that because all of us who have been born in Adam and Eve, we carry a sin condition that means we live and then we die. I'm being careful because I know we have kids in here, but we're mortal. Unlike the comic books, you know, I'm not Thor or anything like that, but we have a life expectancy. And that should humble us. And so the eternality with God is contrasted with the temporariness of men. During my training as a chaplain, one of my mentors, Phil Manley, who's a professor down at the Master's Seminary, and he's an elder there too. I call him Sarge. He's a Vietnam veteran, great man. And we can eat chicken, have a good time, and I can have great conversations with him. But what he wanted us to do as chaplains, he wanted us to really get in touch with the fact that we will not keep on living ourselves. And he took us to L.A. County's crematorium, the place where if people don't have family and they show up in the morgue and there's no one to identify them or anything like that, this is where they go. And we went in this room and there were boxes about this big, about this wide, and there were rows and rows and rows and rows and rows. He says, fellas, come on in. A bunch of seminarians, you know, we got our theology and we're all everything. He pulls a box from off of this, and he reads the person's name. He said, I want to introduce you to, we'll just say his name was Bill. Bill was born in such and such place, lived his life. He said, hey, this is Bill, all in a box. Now, he wasn't reducing this man's life to that box, but what he was trying to get across to us, which I'm trying to get across to you, is that we are finite. And we often live our lives thinking that, you know, I could just keep doing what I do, but you're going to stand before God one day. And you're going to need more than just that box. You're going to need Jesus. And if you leave this place without Jesus, that's on you. But, oh, if you have Jesus, you have treasure beyond this world. You have treasure that will last not just in this life, but in the world to come. I'll shout myself down with that. Woo, hallelujah. It's about Jesus. If you don't remember anything else, you say, who was that tall, lanky brother from Jesus? Just, he was talking about Jesus. I think I want to get to know him too. Thank you, Lord, for good old Phil. And I stood there looking at all these boxes. People have come and gone. And when we're alive, it's our pride to make us think that, oh, we're big and bad, and they're going to remember me, and I'm all that. We don't even remember our great-great-grandparents. Did they have an impact on our life? Absolutely. Now, I'm going to put you all to the test, and kids, you can join in with this too. Hopefully, we could all name our parents, okay? And if that doesn't happen, I don't take that lightly. We could pray about that, talk about that, get you counseling. That is a phenomenon. But on count of three, everybody name your grandparent, okay? Your favorite one, I'll name my grandma. One, two, three. Cherokee Shepherd. Very good. That's my great-grandma. Love her. Now, count of three, I want you to name your great-grandparent, okay? You ready? Count of three. One, two, three. Ella Hurt, Houston, Texas. Yep, made her way to the city. Born 50-something. Yep, she survived. Okay, count of three. I want you to name your great-great-grandparent, if you can do that. George. Somebody said George. Albert. What was the last name? Okay. Edison, all right. Thomas Alva? Okay, all right, Edison. All right, here we go. Count of three. We're going to name our great-great-grandparent, if you know it. One, two, three. Adeline Hurt, born 1840, Georgia, migrated with her husband, my great-great-grandfather, Fountain Hurt, settled in Alabama, survived emancipation, married, produced kids. Two of my great-granduncles fought in the wars in World War I. One of my great-grandparents was in, well, actually, Fountain, no, Major was in Civil War. Anyway, I'm going through my family history. Why am I saying this, and what does it have to do with this text? Man is temporary. We are temporary. The effects of sin show our temporariness because we live and then we pass away. That was a long foray there. Verse 8, I'm going to go back to this. You've placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all of our days have been declined in your fury. We've finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due by strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. You know, when the Bible talks about sin and falling short of the mark of God, Scripture says in New Testament, the wages of sin is death. Is that being paid? Absolutely. I don't want to harp on that. But the gift of God is eternal life. Moses, we see God using Moses, but we also see his fatal flaw when he, really a form of rebellion, God says, speak to the rock, and he says, drink you rebels, and he strikes the rock. You can read it for yourself in the Old Testament, and so because of his sin, he doesn't get to go into a promised land. I say that by way of illustration, that God knows our sins, even our secret sins. And that indeed should humble us, but at the same time, it should cause us to be grateful for God's goodness in our life. Have you ever known someone to love you and know who you really are? I mean, like they know who you really are? Because God is eternal. He's not capricious. You know, I remember they had someone plucking flowers. She loves me. She loves me not. kind of thing. It's not, God's not like that. But yet he is holy. And so we have this duality, or let me say it this way, both are true. It is true that God is eternal and he is holy and he is good and right. And at the same time, he has grace. Isn't that wonderful? They're not in competition. You can read for yourself this a writer from years ago by the name of A.W. Pink. He has a book called The Knowledge of the Holy. And in that book, he describes the attributes of God. God is infinite. God is good. God has wrath. God is holy. He's sovereign. He's eternal. And it's like a diamond with different facets. And even as I'm trying to describe these things, I fall short of it. But notice the contrast with humanity. Now, it's been said before, most of us would not want broadcasted up on the screen our thoughts, let alone our actions. But could you imagine as we all entered the place, myself included, that it was a preview of who you are? Even today? Now, I say that not to discourage you, but to encourage you to worship Jesus Christ. The Bible says he knew what was in the hearts of people. And while he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is the God I serve. To know that Judas would go out and betray him and still wash his feet. That's a good God. I mean, can you feel that? He says, friend, what you do, go do quickly. How wonderful. Well, This is God. Man has 70, 80 years. So for all the minutes that you've spent this year, if God gives another year, with all of those minutes, how will you spend them? What will you spend them on, and who will receive it? The psalmist is recalling back God's eternality, man's transitoriness, but then this psalm ends with a prayer. You can see it there beginning at verse 13. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years you have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. We have an opportunity to use the time in which we have wisely. But may I say to you that just as Moses prayed then, we should pray now. And there's a couple things we could see in this prayer that are worth repeating. Bear with me as I'm stumbling over my notes here because I don't want to miss this. We can pray for God's compassion. Moses said, have pity or remember or be sorrowful for. And that's not that God did anything wrong, but some translations would say he's praying for God to show compassion on his children. Did the Israelites need God's compassion with their lives? Did they go through some tough times? By the way, do we need compassion? Does the United States need some compassion? Does your family and household need compassion? Absolutely. And this is the love of God in actions toward you and me. And though he doesn't change and he's eternal, he's at work in the world. And if you feel it in your heart, the Spirit may indeed be working in here. So we're inviting him, have compassion on me. One of the men that was blind and was calling out, he heard Jesus said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus healed him. You can pray for compassion. You can also pray to be satisfied and glad with his unfailing love and joy. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. What good is having millions of dollars if you have no joy? What good is having the fanciest of cars if you have no peace? What good is it that you eat what you want, how you want all the time, but you're never satisfied? Have you ever met folks who are never satisfied? I mean, just mad about everything. Now, to be careful, I'm not trying. But there's a sense from this text that God's people are being reminded to seek him for satisfaction, to seek him for compassion, to seek him for joy, which cannot ever, 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 ever go away when it's truly from him. Love comes from God. Joy comes from God. We may walk and wander from it, but God never changes. He's eternal. We see that in the parable even of the prodigal son. Prodigal son turned and left. But did the father ever stop loving? He's right there. And if you've been looking for love in all the wrong places, today is a great day. Turn to Jesus Christ. You can have that conversation in your heart right where you are. I give my life to you, Jesus. This hasn't satisfied. I thought this and these people would bring joy and happiness. None of these things can compare to you. Make that choice for yourself. But then Moses goes on, make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we've seen evil. I sense him being a bit personal. There are consequences to sin. Real talk. I have friends who've done time for things when they were kids, and now they're free, and they're enjoying it, but they experience a certain punishment for disobedience. I'm thinking of one in particular who's he's living a wonderful life now with the Lord. And just as we read in the scripture, there is a sense that God can bless even in proportion to the trouble that we've seen. And sometimes you may experience evil that you did not choose. People may have visited you with that. I think of some folks who grew up in homes where they were abused. And the early part of their life, they suffered. But can I tell you, some of these same individuals who have yielded their life to Christ are monuments of his faithfulness. And they're happy, and they're not victims, and they're empowered to do powerful things. And you would look at them and say, oh, wow, this person just seems like their life is perfect. But then you ask them a question, yeah, this is how I was beaten. I was abused. This is what my life was. But then I met Jesus Christ, and he told me who I am in him. And my life is not perfect now, but I have a perfect God and a perfect friend who's helped me to have peace with my past so that now I can walk with him today. Think about Moses. To have been brought up in a home and your mother couldn't be with you all the time. If you know the story of Moses, to protect her child, God moved her to put the baby Moses in that little basket to be raised literally right under Pharaoh's nose. She's able to serve and nurse him, but could you imagine, like, that's my mom, that's my people. They're going through all of this, and I'm living in a lap of luxury. And yet God used this man, and there's plenty of others in Scripture, men and women, to be instruments of bringing blessing and goodness in proportion to sadness. I don't know what that looks like for you, or even collectively here at CBC. Whatever troubles you or I may face, we can ask God for a blessing. If it's your will, Father, this is a tough time. Oh, on the other side of this, could you bless it even more? And God is still God, whether he does or not. All right, I'm almost through. That's a dangerous thing for preachers to say. I hope you're encouraged this morning. Let's look at the last portion of the psalm. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Where that scripture says, let the favor of the Lord, yours may say the beauty of the Lord or the delight of the Lord. And that word delight or suitableness or splendor or grace is a sense that God himself and his divine blessings and presence would indeed be on us, in us, and through us. And we can invite God in where we are. If you're a mechanic, I think of one I work with who loves the Lord and he has a scripture up in his warehouse. He may start off his time with prayer and he senses God at work in him and through his hands. If you're a cook or you're a leader in the marketplace or you have a company and you have a principle about how you work with integrity and honesty and compassion and you provide services that you can stand behind, there's a sense you can invite God to bless the work of your hands as he blesses you. If you're a student, young or old, and you get your assignments and you're in school, you can invite God into your thinking so that you not only get the best grade, but you are an excellent student. This is a wonderful thing and a wonderful way to spend your time. You know, we have these minutes that are in front of us. A.W. Pink says this, God dwells in eternity, but time dwells in God. He has already lived in all of our tomorrows as he has lived in all of our yesterdays. An illustration offered by C.S. Lewis may help us here. He suggests that we think of a sheet of paper infinitely extended, or a sheet of paper just stretching all the way out into eternity. That would be eternity. Then on that paper, draw a short line to represent time. As the line begins and ends on that infinite expanse, so time began in God and will end in Him. And so, as we're wrapping up 2023, whether you use a calendar for the day or for the week or for the month, whether you find ways to how you spend your time, be mindful of that time that you've been given comes from an eternal God who was a help to God's people in Israel then. He's available to be a help to you now. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, thank you. You are the everlasting God. And though my words be few and so short and so small compared to you who are eternal, take that which is good, right, and true that edifies your people and teach us to number our days that we would apply our heart of wisdom. Ask your blessings on these, your people. In Jesus' name, amen.